This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We come to the book of 1 John, and the author, obviously, by the title of the book, is the Apostle John. And what we have here is John is of old age. John, as history tells us, is in his 90s by this time. And what we know about him is that he is currently ministering at the church of Ephesus. That should be a reminder if you read the letter to the book of Ephesians. But he is primarily ministering at Ephesus, and he is supervising over the seven churches of Asia that are mentioned in the book of the Revelation. And what we have here is John is writing this letter to these seven churches, and he is making it known about his relationship with God. And so in this letter, John has three purposes for why he wrote this letter. Purpose number one is that we would have assurance. He said that ye may know that ye have eternal life. His first reason was that you may be established, that you may have confidence in the eternal life that has come from Jesus Christ. Secondly, is for holiness. He said that ye sin not. His second reason that he gives is that you would live a life that is separated unto God, and you will not live in sin. But primarily, all these statements that I'm reading are individual statements that John puts in his book, and I believe whenever he makes these statements, he is referring to the whole entire letter that he is writing. And he says in verse 4 of the chapter we just read, it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full," that your joy would be complete, that it would be whole, that it would be full. And this is what I want to zone in on this evening. He automatically opens up this letter in the first chapter by saying, "I want your joy to be full." And so what is joy? I believe that's a very good question if we're going to be discussing it this evening. Well, my friend, one thing I think I should automatically start out with is joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is based upon circumstances. It is based upon what happens. Joy, though, that is something that is concrete. It is established. It is firm. And joy that is being talked about here is a supernatural delight that comes from God in delighting in the things of God. That, my friend, is joy. And this joy comes from our relationship with God. It comes from what we have in the relationship with God, the benefits and the privileges that we have with God. So, my friend, you need to understand this. Joy is essential to the Christian life. You can have joy. For Nehemiah said it best when he said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." To walk in this Christian life, to live in this life every single day, to live in that abundant life that John was talking about, you need to live a life of joy. And this joy, as Peter put it, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so what I want to dive into this evening is this. Joy comes from God and from your relationship with God. That really is the whole entire theme of the book. One man said that John wrote the Gospel of John to show the whole entire world eternal life, but he writes the book of 1 John to believers so they would know about that abundant life that comes from God. And so we have certain privileges, we have certain rights, we have certain benefits that come from our relationship with God. So every Christian can be full of joy because of the privileges that come from our relationship with God. There are certain privileges that John points out to us in this passage. And first and foremost, it is obvious, it is fellowship. The very first privilege that we have is that we can have fellowship with God. We can have access to God. We can have communion with God. And so look at what John does. John automatically opens up with this statement. He doesn't give no introduction. He doesn't give anything. He doesn't say, "This is my name is John." He says, "That which was from the beginning." What is John doing here? He automatically starts with the person that we are having communion with. He starts with saying that this man is from the beginning. Now, I don't know about you, but my mind automatically goes to, whenever I think of John saying the beginning, I automatically go to the incarnation. I automatically go to the virgin birth, with Jesus starting his earthly ministry. But my friend, I believe this goes way deeper than what we think. Jesus did not start. Jesus never had a beginning. I believe this goes back all the way to what he said in John 1:1, when he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This, my friend, is a statement of Christ's deity. It is a Trinitarian statement, if you would. He is speaking of the Trinity, that the Trinity that we believe in three distinct persons, even though and they are all one God. He is from the beginning. And look how John describes it. He says, he's from the beginning, which we have heard. John is testifying. John is magnifying. John is uplifting Christ, and he is saying this, "I have heard." Remember, John the Beloved walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He heard the Olivet Discourse. He was in the upper room with the rest of the disciples when Jesus was pouring his heart unto them before he went to the cross. He has heard the voice of God. But it also says this, which we have seen with our eyes, what we have witnessed, the events that took place. We saw him raise people from the dead. We saw him cast out demons. We saw him heal people. We saw him perform many miracles. But here's the thing, though. John is unique to all the 12 because he is the only one who was at Mount Calvary whenever Jesus Christ was on the cross. He literally saw Christ on the cross. He is testifying to this fact. He says, which we have looked upon. What exactly is that talking about? We have thought about him. We have contemplated him. We have considered him. These were the same men who said, "What manner of man is this?" They have thought about him. But it goes much deeper than that. He says, and our hands have handled. The reason why John is known as John the Beloved, and I mean, if you had this title, you'd keep it too. In John's gospel, he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Why? Because John was the only one who laid his head on the bosom of Christ, and he heard the heartbeat of God. He handled what? Christ, obviously, but it says of the word of life. The word of life. What exactly is that? Whenever we say that Jesus is the Word, what we mean by that is we mean that he is an expression of God. He is the very image of God. Please listen to what Hebrews 1:3 says. It says, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." Jesus Christ is God. He is the express image. So here's the thing. If he is the Word, he is the express image of God, but he's also the Word of life. What exactly is he saying here? The source of life. The expression of true life is from God. eternal life, abundant life, purposeful life comes from God. So we need to ask the question is this. So John is basically describing, I walked with him for 3.5 years. I touched him. I handled him. I saw him. I witnessed all these things. I have had fellowship with God. And the one that he's talking about is the word of life. My friend, the way that we have fellowship, the way that we have communion with God, the way we have access to God is through the word of life. That is how we have access unto him. It was Paul who said he is holding on to the word of life. If you want to have communion with God, if you want to have fellowship with God, you go to the word of life. You go to the word. That's how you have communion with God, for Jesus Christ is everything. He is everything. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. He is everything, my friend. In this life that he is talking about, he says, for the life was manifested. It was made known. It appeared. And he repeats himself. He says, we have seen it and bear witness. And show unto you, look at this, that eternal life. That specific eternal life. What is he referring to? What is he talking about? I remind you that John was the only one who recorded the high priestly prayer of Christ. And I want you to think with me here. As listen to what Jesus described eternal life to be. Because this is what John, what did John just say? He says, I am showing to you what I have heard, what I have seen, and now I'm telling you what has happened. Jesus Christ said this in John 17, verse 3, and this is the life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. My friend, eternal life is not just a quantity of life. It's not just whenever we get it, we just live and we live and we live and we live. No, my friend, eternal life, true life, purposeful life. Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is, it is knowing God. It is experiencing God. It is living every single day in the love of God, in the kindness of God, in the mercy of God. It is being with God. I don't think y'all are understanding how rich this is, my friend. He just has to go, look at this. Which was with the Father? Which was with the Father? What's that talking about? Jesus Christ was with the Father. This is referring to before there was a beginning. This is referring to before there was a thing as a beginning, because God is the one who created beginnings. So what is this talking about? Have you ever wondered what was God doing before the creation of the world? What was God doing? Well, this whole entire passage is about fellowship. And he's saying this man... Jesus Christ was with the Father, past tense, before the beginning of the world. This is basically what it is saying. Before the creation of the world, before God said, let there be light, guess what? The Father and the Son were fellowshipping with one another. They were enjoying one another. They were having communion with one another. Because here's the thing, if God could love himself, he can. If someone can enjoy himself more, it is God. So here's the thing, if that's the case, if true eternal life is to know God, and Jesus Christ was with God and fellowshipping with God, you need to understand this, God loves the Son. God cherishes the Son. He made everything for him, by him, and because of him. Everything that has happened is for the Son. It's all for the Son. Well, here's the thing, though. All of those that have eternal life, which is to know the Father through Jesus Christ, we are the recipients. We receive access to God into the fellowship that was going on between God the Father and God the Son. That's why it means whenever we have been accepted into the beloved. That's what this means. We have been made meet. We have been made qualified to where we can have fellowship with God. We have been accepted. We are able to go in and have fellowship with Him and to know more of His character and His splendor and His glory. We are able to experience all these things. Oh, y'all gotta help me. He was manifested unto them. John is testifying to the fact, I've walked with Him. I have seen Him. I have heard His... Haven't we experienced this? Haven't we seen God work? Haven't we heard the voice of God? Haven't we experienced what it means to be with God? If you live according to this book, if you live and dwell in this book, if you live according to the word of life, you, my friend, have experienced God. You have lived with, you have loved God. This is all about fellowship. All of it. And this word fellowship, I mean, if you're wondering for the Greek word of this, it literally carries the idea of two people in an enterprise together. Two men walking together. What's the old saying? Fellowship is two fellas in a ship or something like that. That's what Joey Wampler said, so. Verse 3, look at this. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. See, John just keeps on repeating himself. I've heard him. I'm seeing him. I'm telling you this. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. But it says in the verse, it says, that ye also may have fellowship with us. See, John is writing to these churches. But here's the thing. If you read the letters in Revelation, you know this. These churches are, they got problems. Some of them are lost. Some of them are saved. Some of them probably just need to get born again. And he's writing this unto them. He's testifying to this very fact. I'm letting you know about this eternal life so you can have fellowship with us. Because here's the thing, though. If we are having fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, and we are in the beloved, true fellowship, genuine fellowship is between everyone that is in this relationship. I hope you understand this. Jesus came to establish relationship. He came to make us His friend. He came for a bride. This whole entire thing is about relationship. About our relationship with God. About God's relationship to the Son. And this was such a closer relationship. I mean, what exactly did He say in Genesis? Let us. Let us. The first statement of the Trinity, let us make man in our image. We have fellowship with God. Before I move to my next point, I just want you to understand, we're talking about joy. We're talking about delight. We're talking about a feeling of merriment of heart that comes from God and that is it grows with our fellowship with God. That's the reason why he says our fellowship, yes, we fellowship with others, but truly, truly, our fellowship is with God and with His Son. You can have joy, obviously, from your spouse. You can have joy from your children. There's just some people, I mean, there's some friends I have in this life that I mean, I just die for them. You know what I'm talking about? Just true, genuine friends that we've locked arms and the Lord has knit our hearts together, and I would just die for them. Well, he says this, if you feel that way about your earthly friends, how much more your heavenly Father? This is the type of fellowship that he is speaking of. Secondly, firstly was God's fellowship. That is the first privilege. Secondly, God's favor. Look at this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. What is he saying here? I received this message from Christ. I'm taking everything that I heard from Christ and I'm giving you this message. What is that message? That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What does it mean that God is light? The idea of God being light is very simple. It means this, that God is sinless. God is pure. God is perfect. In other words, if we want to get a little bit more specific, God is holy. That's what this means. There's no one like God. Therefore, he is perfect in everything that he does. Absolutely everything. He is perfect in his justice. He is perfect in his righteousness. He is perfect in his love and his kindness and his mercy. God is perfect, my friend. And not just who he is, but just what he does. Everything that flows from God, my friend, everything that comes from the hand of God, every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Everything. There is no darkness in him at all. Well, here's the thing. If light carries the idea of sinlessness and perfection and holiness, to say there is no darkness at all in him is to say that God has no sin in him. He has no death in him. He has no deceitfulness in him. Nothing. So look at what John says. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, so if we say that we have fellowship, we have a relationship with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So it's the thing, if to walk in the light is to live a life according to God's standards, therefore them walking in darkness, they are living in the opposite of God's standards. And to that point, they, as it says, they do not the truth. They do not practice truth. They do not live out truth. But look at the contrast that is given in verse 7. But if we, what is this referring to? But if we. So he's making the categories of this. There are those people that are in darkness. They walk in darkness, but they lie to themselves. They do not the truth. But then there are those that are in light. I hope you understand this, that all of us at one point were in darkness. All of us did not live according to the truth. Just so you have some understanding of that, listen to these verses. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness in his marvelous light. My friend, we are in light. And the reason why we are in light is because one day we were in darkness. And as Paul said in the book of Corinthians, we saw the light of the glorious gospel. come unto us, and it opened up our blinded eyes, and we saw for the very first time. We saw the light of the gospel. Therefore, ever since then, we have been living in the light. We have been living in this truth. Because the idea of God being light is not just that he is holy, he is sinless, but everything that comes from him. Therefore, that everything that comes from him, all of his commands, everything that he tells us to do, his revelation is in light. Look at this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, what is John talking about here? Well, you already see the contrast where he says there are those that do not the truth. So what we have here is John is correlating this. He is saying, but if we walk in the light. So what is he correlating? He's correlating there are those that do not do truth, but we walk in the light. Therefore, he's saying truth and light are inseparable. You cannot separate them. So to live in the light is to live according to God's standards. It is a living in the truth. But I want to go much deeper than that. Much deeper. When God is called light, it has to do with his revelation as well. That God has held nothing back from you. God has given you everything that you need. God is not holding nothing back from you. What? How did Paul put it in Romans 8? If he gave up his dear son, what else would he hold from you? So the idea in this verse is not just, and it is obviously, to walk in the light. To live according to the light. It is to live according to truth. That's absolutely true. But it goes much deeper than that, my friend. It is living in the reality of God's truth. It is living in the light of God. It is having the light of life, my friend. It is being enlightened every single day according to the truth. And so the idea here is this. If we walk in light as he is in the light, God is light. The more we walk in the light, the closer we get to God, my friend. And the closer we get to God, we explore more of the riches and of the glories and of the treasures that are in God. That's what this is talking about, to where you live in a greater reality, to where you understand what it means to be priests and kings unto God. You understand what it means to be redeemed. You understand what it means to pass from death unto life. You understand more of what it means to be a conqueror through him that loved us. Living in a greater reality. And it is shared where it says, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with those that walk in this light, that live according to this light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The idea in this statement is this. It's not that if you walk in the light, God will cleanse you of sin. The idea is this, is that the reason why you're walking in the light, the reason that you are obeying the truth, the reason that you are living the light of life and not in darkness is because you have been cleansed from all your sins. And the reason why I titled this privilege is the favor of God is because here's the thing. This is what the light of life looks like. Living the light of life is only for those that are in the light. It is not for those, as verse 6, that walk in darkness and do not the truth. Third and finally, we'll have to go quick on this one. God's forgiveness, verse 8. Let's look at verse 8 and 10, and then We'll look at the verse that's sandwiched in between there. It says, if we say that we have no sin, basically what he's saying, that if we say, if we profess that we do not feel the guilt of sin, if we do not have conviction of sin, we deceive ourselves, we lie to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Therefore, these are unbelievers. Then looking at verse 10, he's addressing the same group. He says, if we say that we have not sinned, basically have committed sin, outward sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is not in us. And we make God a liar. I believe the idea in this text is that God is that John is responding to a group of people who have proclaimed, who have professed to be in light. They have professed to obtain eternal life, but they do not walk in it. But let's look at this verse, verse 9, a very familiar verse that's sandwiched in between there. And this, we'll conclude here. It says, if we confess our sins. Now, what does that word confess mean? The idea of this word confess carries the idea of to say the same thing about sin that God does. That's what this means. It's not just making known. It's not just telling God. No, it is agreeing with God. I have sinned. I have fallen short. I have sinned. My friend, I hope you understand this. You are going to sin. You still have a nature that sins. And this word sin literally carries the idea of missing the mark, falling short. My friend, you are going to fall short. You are. But look at this. The basis of our confession is he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just. What exactly does that mean? So here's the thing. He's saying that we need to confess our sins. We need to agree with God of our sin that we have just committed. Here's the thing. We cannot confess our sins to one another. Why? Because we are not faithful and just. The idea of God being faithful is that he is consistent. He is morally sufficient, that he never bows, he never lies, he never wavers, he never sins. That is the idea. He's never failed. And the very idea of him being just is that he is righteous. He is just in the sense of he's holy, he is sinless. And it is on the basis of this, my friend, that I want you to understand this. You're going to sin. Just mark it down. You're going to sin. You're going to have passions. You're going to have attachments. You're going to have things in your life that are against God, that are opposed to God. But lastly, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word forgiveness there literally means to set one free, to take them away. And then unrighteousness carries the idea is that we have not lived up to the standard. So lastly, because I need to be done by 8 o'clock. I'm going to end on this note. My friend, you can have joy in this life. And I hope you understand this. Sin robs people of joy. It robs you of the benefits and the experiences and the privileges that we have from God. It doesn't take them away from you, but you do not to experience them fully. But I'm telling you this, if you fall short, if you stumble and you fall, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I'm telling you this because you need joy as Nehemiah said it, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, so much, God, for the time that has been given to us. And Father, these truths, Father, Lord, they are just so rich and so deep. And Father, I pray that we would take something home from these truths, God. And we know that everything that you have said is perfect and right. And God, we love you in Jesus' name.